Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I'm going to go to the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, he's a little hard to find, but he's in the Old Testament. Go to Amos, go to Obadiah, go to Jonah, go to Micah, go to Nahum, Habakkuk, and there is Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, this morning I want to start just talking about understanding grace. And I'm just going to preach on this until I'm done. I don't know for sure how long that's going to be, but till I'm done. And so, I don't know, I may preach on it on Sundays and Wednesdays or just reserve it for Sunday. I'm not sure. But we're going to start in Zephaniah chapter 3 about understanding grace. And it's kind of, not really funny. It's just the Lord that one of the very first song we did actually had this verse in it or referenced it in Zephaniah. Go with me. Zephaniah 3. You got it? All right, verse 17, the Bible says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. Amen. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love," or some translations say he'll quiet you in his love. "He will joy over you with singing." Woo, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that's a little hard for me to grasp. But I believe it because the Bible says it. That God would rejoice over me with joy. He'll joy over me with singing. That we sing about Him and He sings about us. Amen. Glory. How would you like to hear God sing? Man, I've heard some good singers in church. You know, a lot of the musicians in the world came out of the church. Yeah, that's true. They started in church.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you now, there church's got some talent in it now. Amen. We need an anointing with the talent, but thank God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So God sings over us. Amen. You know, some, I wonder what his gospel album's like.
Amen.
You know, I've heard over the years, Elvis. How many know who Elvis is?
Amen.
Some people still believe he's still alive. But man, could he sing some gospel songs. I'm telling you, man, when he got to singing gospel, goosebumps broke out everywhere.
Amen.
He could do that one song, "Where Could I Go But to the Lord."
Wow.
Anybody old enough remember that old song? "Where could I go, where could I go, seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?" I know you thought Elvis was here. But how many understand God sings over us?
Wow.
Now see, you know, I'm going to spend the next however many services, I don't really know, just until I get done, just talking about understanding grace. But to understand grace, you've got to understand God. Because
right.
That grace emanates from God.
Right.
He's a God of grace.
Right.
Peter said He's the God of all grace. All grace. It all comes from Him. But here's the thing that we have to understand is that, you know, the devil will try to change your inner image and picture of who God is. He'll try to adjust that, or he'll try to be the one that designs it. I want you to think about it. See, inner image is very important. Your inner image of a thing. How you see it on the inside, see. I mean, I've heard people on the radio that I had a picture of them in my mind. I had a picture of them. And when I saw them, they didn't match the picture at all. I remember one time when I was at Huntingburg, a guy came to church one Sunday and met me. And he said, I thought you, he said, I've heard your well, they were cassettes. I've heard you on cassette. I've listened to you preach on cassette. He said, I thought you were 6 foot something. No, I'm 5'8 on a good day. Well, see, he had an inner image. See, and your inner image of what God is like and who He is, that's everything. I'm telling you, you got to have the right picture about God on the inside of you, or it'll adjust your receiving from Him and your relationship with Him if you don't realize how good He really is. God is good. And He's all good. Remember that rich young ruler came to Jesus and he called Him good master? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Remember that?
Yes.
Now see, the revelation behind that is this. See, it wasn't that Jesus, how many know Jesus was good, all good.
Yeah.
Right? But what he was saying was this: all goodness comes from God.
Amen.
So if I'm good, it came from God. Because He's the God of all grace.
Yeah.
Everybody say all grace.
All grace.
Well, if it's all grace, how much is left? There ain't anything left. He's all grace. See. So our inner image of who God is, and you know, a lot of people think that God's just out to get them. The world thinks God's just out to get you. You know, a lot of people think, well, God just, at the end, we don't know whether we're going to make it or not, but at the end, God just weighs us in the balance, and if we got enough good merits, then we're going to heaven. If we don't, you can't, nothing you can do about it. But listen, that's not it at all. God didn't even create hell for us. Jesus said He created hell for the devil and his angels. And it's a good thing that they're going to go down there. You understand? That's good. God did that to bless us. Get rid of them. One day, the devil and all his cohorts are going to be gone. That's good. I said, that's good. I said, that's good. But He didn't mean for us to go there. Adam sent us there when He sinned. He took the whole human race down. What God did was sent us a way to get out of it.
Yes.
That's goodness.
Yes.
I said, that's goodness. Yes. If we go there, it'll be our fault.
Come on. Amen.
And it won't be because we lied about the size of the fish we caught.
Come on.
It won't be because we hit our thumb with a hammer and cursed. You shouldn't lie about the size of the fish you caught, guys or gals. You shouldn't cuss when you hit your hammer with a thumb. You should say, oh, glory, hallelujah. Yeah, thumb with a hammer, hammer with a thumb. But that's not the issue. The issue is, have you received deliverance from the kingdom of darkness? It doesn't have anything to do with how good you've been. It's a matter of if have you been saved? Now, once you get saved, God cleans your life up.
Amen.
The Word starts cleaning you up.
Right.
You quit lying about the fish.
Amen.
You quit cussing. Well, I haven't learned that one yet, Pastor. Well, learn it. See, why is putting God's name with the word damn wrong? Why is that wrong? Why when you put those two together? Because God doesn't damn things. He's not the dammer. He's the blesser. Right?
Amen.
See, you're invoking Him to do something He doesn't do.
Right.
Are you with me now?
Yeah.
So you have to understand, see, there's just certain thought patterns that the world has. It's just not scriptural, of course. But thank God like I said, He'll take you at the last minute.
Amen.
Amen. People can be saved. I'm telling you, look, some of the meanest, vilest people you can think about on the planet can get saved at the last moment. And I'll tell you one of them that did. His name was Apostle Paul. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Didn't he? That's what he said. You'd have to have some compassion and mercy and some forgiveness to even want Paul in your church. See, we don't think about that, but people lived back in those days. And, he had some of their relatives killed, put in jail. And now he's a guest speaker at church. And then they're taking up an offering to bless him. I'm like, how many could they? I'm not giving in that offering. Come on, are you with me this morning? Yeah. See what I'm saying? See, but God and his mercy, amen? Yeah. God is good and he's good. You know, Greg sings the song sometime. He's good all the time, amen? Yeah. So your inner image has to be changed. You have to begin to think of God in terms of the way the Bible portrays him, you know. He's a good God. He's a God that is just full of goodness. His glory is his goodness. See, he is so good. It's hard for people to picture this, but he is so good that if Paul said, even Timothy said, that he dwells in such light that no man can approach unto. Remember Moses said, Lord, show me your glory. I mean, remember that in Exodus 20? Show me your glory. And God's kind of like, no, boy, you don't know what you're asking for here, you know. And he just kept after God. Show me your glory. See, the reason he did that, because, you know, the Bible talks about God and Moses spoke face to face, but Moses didn't see God's face. God came down in a cloudy pillar. Yeah. See, Solomon said that God dwells in thick darkness. Well, God's the light of the world. What do you mean he dwells in thick darkness? He puts when he would come down like that, he'd put darkness around him to kind of shield off that glory and that light so it didn't burn everybody up. God is so good. See, Moses wanted to see God's glory. And here's what the Lord said. He said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And he said, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And I'm going to pass by you. And you'll see my backside. And I'm going to put my hand in front of your face. And this is a paraphrase. And you better pray you live. God is so good that his goodness burns up badness. Amen. So, you ever met somebody so good they have to shield their goodness because they might burn you up? No. That's God. I said, that's God. No. I wonder if God would do this or God did. God's all good. Yeah. Amen. He's all good. Amen. All right. Hallelujah. You know, now there's a day coming, praise God, there's a day coming when we got our glorified bodies, we can walk right up to that goodness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. See, you read the book of Revelation. See, if you understand this, some of the things that John said in Revelation make a lot more sense. He got up there to the New Jerusalem and he said, I beheld, he wondered, there's no temple here. There's no temple here. It's not here, not in the New Jerusalem. Now there is in heaven, but in the New Jerusalem, when God comes and dwells with us, come on. See, when God moves, he doesn't just pack a suitcase. He takes the whole city. Sometimes I feel like Phyllis and I do that. But God comes, when he comes down in New Jerusalem, John saw, he said he saw the New Jerusalem come down from God out of heaven above. And he said, I saw no temple in it. Well, see, the temple, the tabernacle, the temple was used to house the glory of God to contain it in such a way that man could a little bit approach to it. But John said in heaven, it's not going to be there. You can just walk right up to the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, the Bible tells us that throughout the ages, he's going to show the riches of his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Go to Psalm 149. I'm going to read a few verses here before we go this morning. Psalm 149. Go over there. Because we have to understand, if we're going to understand grace, we've got to understand God. Grace emanates from God. Grace starts with who God is. He's a God of grace. Glory be to God. He's a God that wants to bless you. He's a God that wants you doing well. Hallelujah. He's a God that wants to forgive your sins. Psalm 149, go there. Look with me, verse 4. The Bible says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Glory to God. He enjoys you. He enjoys you. He wants to be around you. Isn't that something? Glory to God. You know, thank God. You know, there's just some people in life are just enjoyable to be around. You know, there's other people you see coming, you're like, oh gosh, I hope they don't see me. Anybody ever met people like that? You don't want to be one of those people, right? Right? Come on. You know, well, how do you keep from being one of those people? Well, now don't get offended at me. Say, I will not,
I will not
get offended at pastor.
Get offended at pastor.
If I get offended at anybody,
I'll
get offended at Travis. So you take this out on Travis. You want to know how to be somebody that people like to be around? Don't talk about yourself all the time. And be happy. Right? You know, those sad bucket, you just run when you see them coming. You feel sorry for them. You want to help them. It's like, oh, man, I ain't got time for this today. I had enough devils to fight this morning. I don't need another one. Come on, are you with me? See, some people, the whole conversation about me, about me, about me, about me. Travis, you're going to have a lot of hate mail when this is over with. Hey, man, I get around ministers. Listen to me. I get around ministers, and we have lunch or something together, and for 45 minutes to an hour and a half, I hear them talk about them. And at the end, what are you doing, brother? Yeah. I got a new suit. Oh, praise God. God, blessing the Lord, make it rich. Hallelujah. See you later. Now, see, I don't enjoy that. I don't mind him talking about himself. I'm going to ask a question. I want to know some things. But listen, this isn't all about us. See, some Christians sing that song, "Lately all I've had is me on my mind. I'm all I think about most of the time." How many know we have to get over that? Right? And we have to, see, what's this got to do with what you're preaching? Nothing. I'm just having fun. I was talking about God takes pleasure in His people. He likes to be around us. For the most part. You know, but He loves these people. Have me know that. You know, if you got children, you love your children. Some may bring you more pleasure than others, but you love them all the same. You may have more pleasure out of some of them than you do others. Depends on their conduct. But you love them all. God loves us. I said, God loves us. Well, it's real deep this morning. Well, I know. Praise God. Why don't you step in some of it? Get in it, man. God loves you. Now, let's go over to... let me see here where we want to go. Let's go over to Micah. That's another Old Testament book. Micah, just we're in Psalm. Just keep going past Daniel and go past Jonah, Obadiah, and go to Micah. Micah chapter 7. Let's go there. God is so good. Amen. See, a lot of people just think God's just waiting for people to do wrong and then bam, he's going to hit them. You know, He's long-suffering. You know, He puts up with things a lot longer than what we would. He's so patient. He's so kind. There's just things that, you know, we'd give up on people a long time ago that God's still working on. Amen. Now, Micah chapter 7, go there, verse 18. Micah 7, 18. It says in verse 18, "Who is a God like unto you?" Well, there isn't one like Him, amen? "That pardoneth..." Now, this is the kind of God He is. "He pardons iniquity. He passes by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage. He retains not His anger forever because He delights in mercy." Glory to God. God delights in showing mercy. Yes. Not in judging, and showing mercy. Notice this now. It says, "He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities." What's that mean? He'll get rid of them. Stop there just for a minute. I was reading one day, I think it's in Isaiah, can't remember what Isaiah, it might be Isaiah 43, which said, I am He that pardoneth your iniquities for my sake. I thought, now wait a minute. Why would God pardon my iniquities for His sake? They're my problem. See, The reason God does them for His sake, because He wants to have fellowship with you. So He just forgives them. I thought, well, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Verse 19, He will turn again, He will have compassion on us, He will subdue all of our iniquities. He will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Woo, glory be to God. Isn't that what He said to do to the mountain? Cast it into the sea? God takes our sins and plunk. Kerplunk. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom said, quit fishing. You know, I've had people, man, they just want to talk about what they did years ago. Well, did you ask God to forgive you? Well, yeah, well, then quit trying to catch it back. Quit fishing for it. Come on. Amen. Either this verse is true or it's not. How many believe it's true?
Yes.
Then God cast them into the depths of the sea. You will perform, notice this, the truth to Jacob, you and your mercy to Abraham. Well, how many know we're the seed of Abraham? Through Christ Jesus, which you sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. See, God swore from the days of old, I'm going to get rid of your sins. He didn't say, I'm going to get rid of you. I'm going to get rid of your sins.
Yes.
Glory to you. And it's available. Praise God.
Yes.
God is so good. Amen.
Amen.
We got to learn to quit bringing it up. Well, I wonder, you know what I did back in the years ago. You know, people say, well, you're just paying for your old life. Well, I'm glad I'm not. How many know the Bible says we will reap if we faint not?
Amen.
I mean, preachers used to use that one, man. Old preachers, man, you're going to reap. You've sown to the wind. You're going to reap the whirlwind. Well, wait a minute here. We can have a crop failure.
Amen.
See, we can ask the Lord to forgive us and all that's gone.
Yes. Amen.
I said crop failure. Everybody say crop failure. What's that mean? We don't reap because we fainted to that old way of life. Praise God. I'm not living that old way. I'm not living that old way of life. I still miss it from time to time, but thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for His blood. Thank God for His mercy.
Yes.
See, if we're going to understand grace, we've got to understand God and who He is. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace.
Yes.
He's ready to forgive.
Yes.
Oh, praise God. Let's go. I'm going to look a couple more things. Is this all right?
Amen.
I know we're looking at some scripture. But let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. God wants us to know He's a God of grace. He's a God of goodness. He's a God of mercy. Now, that doesn't mean... Now, listen, I know we got a lot of preachers today that preach, you know, God would never, you know, do this or do that, or, you know, you can just live any way you want to and you'll be all right. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us we have to receive His goodness. Right? See, we've even got preachers today that are preaching, well, now you don't have to confess your sins. I call you a spoilt brat. Really, I do. I'm hearing some of these guys say these things. I'm thinking, you obviously don't know God very well. Because I know Him. I don't know Him as well as I'm going to know Him, but I know Him enough to know that in Him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. I've often said, if I'm leaving the parking lot today and I plow into your car, it's pretty rude of me to say, well, you got to forgive me. What I should say is, I'm sorry.
Right.
I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
I'll pay for it.
Wow.
Dr. Barclay said one time he was in a parking lot at Home Depot, Lowe's, one of those places, you know, where you get... And he said he ran over somebody's car. Well, you ought not do that. How many know that? So he said, I just waited. And he said, finally, I saw this young couple coming out. And he said, they you know, this is Michigan. They had a generator. What do you need a generator for? Well, move to Michigan, you'll find out. Or just talk to Brian. Because it's cold up there. Sometimes power goes out. So he said, they're bringing this. He's just a young couple, you know, early 20s. And he said, man, he said, I creamed your car. And they said, you still here? He said, yeah. You didn't leave? No. I creamed your car. I got to fix it. He said, I'll take care of it. He said, if you got a deductible, I'll pay the deductible. We're going to fix your car. I creamed it. He said, matter of fact, he said, I feel so bad about it. He said, let's just load that generator up in the back of my truck. I'll take it to your house and hook it up for you. Well, you don't need to do that. No, I need to pay for this. Wow. I mean, that's called repentance. Now, you got to forgive me, God. Now that, you might get slapped for that one. I don't know. Let me know. That's what some of these preachers are preaching. Well, you don't have to ask God to forgive you. It's already forgiven. Well, it's done, but you got to appropriate it. Yeah. It is done, but you got to appropriate it. And so, yeah, it's right to say, God, I'm sorry I missed it there in Booth. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm not going to do that again. Well, I'm going to try not to do that again. Don't go lying. We're going to help me, Lord, not to do that again. Maybe that's a better way to say it. Like one preacher said, he said, he's crying over a sin he committed. He told the Lord, he said, I'm never going to do that again. He said, the Lord said, now don't start lying on top of it. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. So we have to understand, God's a good God. He wants to forgive us. He wants to bless us. All grace emanates from Him. It comes from Him. Every good thing you have comes from Him. You hear these sassy people, well, I'll tell you what, I don't, they're going on about God. Well, listen, you're breathing His air. What's God ever done for you? Well, why don't you ask Him just stop doing anything before you can find out what happens? Your air's going to be gone. The light's going to be gone. The water's gone.
Come on.
Right? Amen. I heard a minister say this. He's a good minister, good preacher of the gospel. He said, you know what? He said, one day, he was pretty heavily involved in ministry and preaching and Bible school and so forth, teaching in Bible school, and then had a ministry of his own. He said, I just thought one day, I wonder how much of this is me doing this and how much is God. How much of this is me? How much is God? He said, so I prayed. I don't recommend this. He said, I prayed and asked God, Lord, show me how much of this is me and how much of this is you. He said, for 3 days, he said, I couldn't hardly tell you my name. Couldn't preach.
Amen.
Just a big dummy for 3 days. Paul said, in Him we live, move, and have our being, right? So everything emanates and comes from Him. And yet you get people out in the world and say, well, yeah, what's God? Prove there's a God. Well, if God wanted to, He could prove it pretty quick. You wouldn't be nothing but a greasy spot, but He could prove it. You better be glad He doesn't answer that prayer. Besides that, the Bible says it's by faith. It's impossible to please Him without faith. Jesus said you're more blessed if you haven't seen than you believe. Because that's a different dimension. That's a different realm. That gets you in a place where you can always receive the things of the Spirit. See?
Amen.
I know this isn't deep this morning, but listen, you have to have that inner image changed. Because if you don't, then the devil will use that, and there'll always be a distance between you and your Father. See, when you mess up, don't run from God. Run to Him.
Yes.
Just be honest about it. It's like, when you confessed your sins, not when He found out about it. It's when you got rid of it, right?
Right.
Amen. Now, go to Chronicles. Let's go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. I want to read there and we'll see. We may look at another one. But go to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Because God is really big into us knowing He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's full of grace. He's a God of grace. Amen. Now, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, go to verse 13. It said, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. Now, it doesn't sound like they were being quiet about this.
Right?
I mean, if you're going to praise the Lord, just praise the Lord. And there is a time and pray to be still and know He's a God, but there's a time to be loud and make His praise glorious. Amen. He says, they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals, instruments of music, and praised the Lord. Now notice what they said, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. And then the house was filled with a cloud even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Obviously, they did something that God liked, didn't they? Because His power came in and it filled that house with the glory of God, to the point that they couldn't even stand. Man, I've been, not particularly this year, but I've been in services where the glory came in so strong, it was just astounding. Amen. Well, obviously, we were doing some things that attracted the glory, see. Well, what were they doing? Well, they were praising God, but what were they saying? See, what you're saying is important. They were saying God is good, His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. They were magnifying His goodness. And when they magnified His goodness, the glory came in. Glory be to God. That's why it's important we sing the right things. Things that bring the glory. Hallelujah. You know? You got to watch your songs, you know. I mean, you know, there's songs for, really, honestly, you do what you want to with this. I would advise you to only listen to Christian music.
Amen.
I really would. Because the world is going to put stuff in there that you don't need to be putting in there. Amen. And you know, my dad, one of his biggest complaints when we were kids and playing our rock music, his biggest complaint was, I can't understand a word they're saying. I look back and I think it was probably a good thing we didn't understand a lot of things they were saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but a lot of times they are saying something. See,
yeah.
We want songs that say something good about our God.
Yeah.
Right? To glorify our God.
Yes.
And you know, there's Christian music that's for worship, praise. There's Christian music just for entertainment.
Yes.
It doesn't belong in the praise and worship service.
Right.
But there's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's good.
Yeah.
But you got to watch the world's music.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen now. This is something, this is a side note. But music's really powerful.
Yeah.
Did you know the devil was involved in music? When you really study it closely about him, he was involved in music in heaven. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good friend of mine was in Bogota, Colombia. I love this story. He told me it. He was at a pastor's church in Bogota, and he's really a good musician. He preaches, but he's a really good musician. And he plays keyboard, and then he plays the saxophone, too. And I like the saxophone. I don't know about you. I like saxophone. Amen. Maybe I'll learn to play it someday. I'll just get up here and do a run for you during praise and worship. But, and he went up, and sometimes he'd play sax, and boy, it'd be good. I've got an album or two, maybe I still have them of his, or CDs, where he had his own music, you know, produced his own. But he said, you know, he said, I got up and he said, I did the saxophone thing during praise and worship and all. And he said, I sat down. He said, I sat down by the pastor on the front row. He said, the pastor leaned over me. He said, that was really good, Rick. That was really good. He said, but let me remind you, it's a praise and worship leader that fell in the beginning.
Oh, wow.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, that's kind of like build you up, pop you down, right? Don't think too highly of yourself. Amen. Because really, all the talents we have, it came from God. See? So back to the music thing. Now, you can do what you want to. It is your life. I'm warning you. I just watch that. Don't put all that worldly stuff in you. Just stick with God. He's got plenty of talent out there. Well, I just love to listen to Elvis. Well, get his gospel albums. Don't get blue suede shoes.
Yeah.
All right. Amen. That's good preaching. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, all right. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. This is our last verse. You get something today?
Yeah.
2 Chronicles 20. I'm going to finish right here. We were just talking about, see, God, when we make much of God's goodness and His mercy, man, His glory shows up.
Yeah.
He begins to manifest Himself. Why? Because it's big to God that we have a right image of Him. Right? Now, maybe, you know, everybody's life story and situation is different, and maybe your father was not the best of fathers. Maybe you had a wonderful father. But you have to get your image about your heavenly Father from the Bible. Not from what people say. And not from life's experiences. You need to go to the Word and find out what the Word says is, because He is who the Word says He is.
Amen.
Right? He's not who people say He is. He's not who, because some of the old time preachers used to preach hellfire and brimstone, and there was some truth in some of the things they said, but there was also some error in some of that, you know, where they were like, God's going to burn you up and kill you and everything else. Well, listen, you know, there's a day of judgment coming, right? We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, or if you're not saved, the great white throne. We're all going to do that. But here's the thing: God is really in right. He is a God of grace. He's really interested in getting you turned, not burned. That's what He's after. Amen. Now, let's go here to 2 Chronicles in verse 21. We'll cut in on it. There's an army coming against Israel. Jehoshaphat's king. Verse 21, and when he, Jehoshaphat, had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. All right, what were they supposed to praise? The beauty of holiness, right? And as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. All right, they were supposed to praise what? The beauty of holiness. How did they do it? They were to say, His mercy endureth forever.
Amen.
See, the beautiful thing about God's holiness is His mercy endureth forever. It's a good thing it does. Because if you stick His holiness compared to ours, we in trouble. But thank God His mercy endureth forever. you ever read the Old Testament laws? Come on, how many, if you went through that, come on, you went through, Pastor said he tried to. You went through that read the Bible thing we did last year. You ran into some scriptures that maybe you hadn't read before, you know. I mean, the qualifications, you know, to be a priest, you couldn't have a flat nose. I mean, God likes big noses. I mean, you couldn't have any blemishes on you. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking at some of them thinking, man, I'm out. What was that all about? Well, here's the thing. God was just showing people, if you want to match my holiness, here it is. It's called the law. I'm perfect. Now, if you miss one of those, you're out. Right? See what did Paul say? He said it was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. In other words, we were supposed to see just how holy God is and realize, hey, no way. And then God said, that's exactly right. I got somebody that's going to live it for you. Jesus came to fulfill all the law, every jot and every tittle.
Yes.
All the law and prophets He fulfilled. And if you just accept Him, I'll treat you like Him. That's what it's supposed to do. But Israel's like, well, all right, we'll roll up our sleeves and try. Failed miserably. Gentiles end up getting in on it. Didn't they? Because the Gentiles didn't know anything about the law. What law? Paul came preaching them about Jesus, not the law. Well, we'll take him. Israel's like, give us the law. Well, you want the law? Yeah, the law, but man, you have some problems because you can't keep it all. This is God, man. This is how good He is. This is how merciful He is. He's so good to us. But the law was just a picture of how good it was to be our schoolmaster. Amen. See, you know, years ago in school, we had what was called a truant officer. You remember about the truant officer? My uncle was the truant officer. Yeah. And what happened was, if you didn't show up at school, he called. And in our case, he would ask, Mom, where's Randy? Where's Mark? Well, they're at school. No, they're not. His job was to go find you. So, my gosh, it sounded like a concentration camp back then. No, that's the way it was. Remember that? His job was to go get you. And he would bring you back to school. He would lead you back. See, that's what the law's job is to get us and lead us to Christ. Hallelujah. And now listen, all right, the beautiful thing about God's holy, He is so holy, He's so good, He's so, but the beautiful thing about it is He's full of mercy. Yes. Let's read on, we'll close. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon, Moab, stood up, and the inhabitants of Mount Seir, to utterly slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. There's a lot of preaching on this, but I'm going to tell you what, when you praise God, it screws the devil's radar up. It messes it up. Then Judah came, because they started killing one another. The enemy started killing one another. Then, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked, and behold, they were dead. They looked into the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Listen now, and they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. I'm telling you, when you begin to get a hold of God's goodness, when you begin to praise His goodness, when you get a revelation on the inside of His goodness, sometimes the spoil gets so good, it's 3 days to get to carry it all off. Hallelujah. He's that good. He's that good. And He wants to bless you. Amen? So if we're going to understand grace, well, first thing we need to understand, we're going to talk about this some more later as we go on about God's goodness. But if we're going to understand grace, we've got to understand God is good. And He's good all the time. And He's good. The Bible said He's good to the just and the unjust. You know, He makes it rain on the just as well as the unjust. I've never seen in my neighborhood where my yard's getting rain and one of my neighbors around me is not getting it. Because God said, well, they're unjust, so I'm not raining on them. He's good. Hallelujah. And it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.